We said that our world is really just a reflection, a replication of the upper world. Malchut Ein Sof is going through various phases of preparation, and then it reaches a state of shattering, then partial correction or preparation for correction in Malchut Atzilut, and the actual correction happens through us. We are those pieces of Malchut Atzilut that reach correction, and it relies on our efforts, the extent to which we accelerate ourselves to complete the correction. The parts of Malchut of Ein Sof are the souls, individual souls or shattered souls. The whole Malchut of Ein Sof has a structure of 10 tefillot, or a structure of 613 desires that it is comprised of. And in a state of gadlut, it's 620 desires, 7 desires more. They're called 7 precepts of Rabbanan. Rabbanan means greater. It's not some commandment that people added in this world or anything like that. No one can add anything. So, altogether, what we need to correct is 620 desires, which are all appearing to us in the left line as desires in order to receive, and we have to correct them with an intention in order to bestow, without touching the desire itself, but only the intention, reversing the intention. The mitzvah in Hebrew comes from the word tzavta, which means together, meaning that we correct these desires through unity. A person cannot simply correct a desire in himself, by himself. No. Each and every desire is corrected only through unity, meaning being connected by being connected to others, aiming that desire towards connection with others. This is the whole issue with the broken kli. All its pieces are remote from each other, alienated, hateful towards each other, and what they need to reach is unity, connection, love. That is why love thy friend as thyself is the collective rule of the Torah, meaning it is including all of the things we need to do to aim ourselves towards connection. And right now, we are at a time or an era that begins these practical corrections of the connection between us. That's why the crisis that unfolds is showing us more and more day by day, we will feel that we must connect more and more. For now, we feel it as, you know, some sort of a notion, an opinion. Yeah, we have to be connected. The world is becoming global. However, soon it will become very urgent, vital, so that without it we won't be able to obtain any food or sustenance for our lives. And then it will still be hard for humanity to achieve correction and connection, because internally we're all built the other way around. And so we don't understand how it's possible in our mind and senses and feelings. And then the discovery of Kabbalah will be required. And we will have to be this for them. We'll have to be the mentors or the guides. According to the pace of things happening in the world, it could be quite fast. However, connection, unity, bonding is really what will become apparent from day to day as something that is needed. Day after day, we'll see how nothing without it falls into place. All of this is projected to us from the shattering of the vessels, because we're in a shattering, in a state of ruin. And when this appears to us, in contrast to the condition that we must meet of connection, then all we have left is to understand how to undergo the transition from the shattering to the corrected state. Let's hope we will succeed in bringing this awareness to people as soon as possible, to everyone, and have them accept it, and then we'll reach the corrected world.
We're reading article number 96 from the white version of the book of Shamati. It's on page 226. Again, article 96 from Shamati. What is waste of barn and winery in the work? Article 96 in Shamati. A barn is male dinim, judgments, as in hidden and not defiled, when he feels that he is in a state of goren, barn, meaning gil, stranger, in the work. A winery is female dinim, as in hidden and defiled. Yekev, winery, is considered nekev, ferment. And there are two kinds of sukkot. One, clouds of glory, and two, waste of barn and winery. A cloud is considered concealment. One feels the concealment over the kedusha, sanctity. If a person overcomes the cloud, meaning the concealment that one feels, one is thus awarded clouds of glory. This is called Man De'ima, and it applies during the 6,000 years. It is considered a secret that still has not become a nature called literal. And the waste of barn and winery are called literal and nature, which is considered Man de Malchut, erected specifically through faith, called an awakening from below. And Man de Ima is considered an awakening from above, which is not discerned as nature. This means that with respect to nature, when one is not ready to receive the abundance, he does not receive any bestowal. However, from the perspective of the awakening from above, which is above nature, the light is indeed poured onto the lower ones by way of I am the Lord that dwelleth with them in the midst of their uncleanness. As it is written in the Holy Zohar, even though he has sinned, it is as if he did not sin at all. However, if an awakening from below, the light is not dispensed, rather precisely when one is qualified by nature, meaning by himself, This is called Man Denukva, which he can correct through faith. This is called by himself. Consider the seventh millennium called, and one is ruin, meaning that she has nothing of her own, considered malchut. When this is corrected, one is awarded the tenth millennium, which is gar. Such a soul is found in one of 10 generations. However, there is the discernment of the seventh millennium from their perspective of 6,000 years called particular. As the general and the particular are always equal, but this is considered man de'ima, called clouds of glory. And the purpose of the work is in the literal and natural, since in this work he no longer has room to fall lower down, since he is already placed on the ground. This is so because he does not need greatness, because for him it is always like a new thing. It means that he always works as though he had just begun working now, and he works in the form of acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. The basis upon which he built the order of the work was in the lowest manner, and all of it was above reason. Only one who is a real fool can be so low as to proceed without any basis on which to establish one's faith, literally with no support. Additionally, he accepts this work with great joy, as though he had real knowledge and vision on which to establish the certainty of faith, and to that exact measure of above reason, to that very measure, as though he had reason. Hence, if he persists in this path, he can never fall, rather he can always be in gladness, by believing that he is serving a great king. This is the meaning of the verse, "The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at dusk, according to the meal offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof." This means that that gladness that he had while he was sacrificing his sacrifice, when it was a morning for him, as morning is called light, meaning that the light of the Torah was shining for him in utter clarity. In the same gladness he was making his sacrifice, meaning his work, even though for him it was like evening. This means that even though he did not have any clarity in the Torah and the work, he still did everything gladly, since he worked above reason. Hence, he could not measure from which state the Creator derives more contentment. This is the meaning of Rabbi Shimon ben Menashia preaching a kind of matter. Matter means without reason and knowledge. An ear that heard on Mount Sinai will not steal. This means not receiving anything for oneself, but assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven without any gadlut, greatness, but entirely above reason. And he went and stole some illumination for himself, meaning he said, "Now I can be a servant of the Lord, because I already have reason and knowledge in the work, and I understand that it is worthwhile to be the Creator's servant, and now I no longer need faith above reason." He tells us about that, and he was sold to the court. Court refers to man's reason and knowledge, which judge a person's action, whether or not they are worth doing. Sold means that he has become a stranger in the work of God, that the mind comes and asks him the known question, what mean you by this service? And it only comes from the angel of stealing, having received some support to the discernment of faith. Hence he comes and wants to conceal the support which his questions with his questions. But this is only for 6, meaning he was sold for 6 years, considered the male dinim. But if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, I will not go out free, meaning he does not want to go out free without mitzvot, then the correction is, his master shall bring him, meaning the Lord, to the door or onto the doorpost, meaning give him blockage over the reception of the kingdom of heaven, and his master shall bore his ear, meaning his ear is pierced. This means that another hole is made in him, so he will be able to hear once more what he had heard on Mount Sinai, thou shalt not steal. And he shall serve him forever. This is because then he truly becomes a servant of the Creator. Sukkot is temporary residence. This means that one who has already been awarded permanent residence and has nothing more to do, as with the matter of the first to count the iniquities, the counsel is to leave for temporary residence, as when he was on his way to the house of God before he arrived at the permanent residence. At that time he constantly needed to reach God's palace, and he had guests when his work was in the form of a passing visitor. And now he can extend from the past work, when he was always thankful and praising the Creator by always bringing him closer, and from which he had gladness. And now, on Sukkot, he can extend the gladness he had then. And this is the meaning of temporary residence. This is why they said, I leave the permanent residence and dwell in temporary residency. The study is not the most important, but the act. This means that an act is like a substance. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya was preaching a kind of matter, that the act is the most important, and the mind is but a kind of mirror. However, the act is considered living, and the mind is considered speaking. The thing is that if there is wholeness in the act, then the act is so great that it brings with it the mind of the Torah, and the mind of the Torah is called speaking.
I don't know what kind of interpretation to give here, because it's kind of several statements about the limitations we have when we enter that state called Sukkot. What does it mean, go out of your permanent place and be in a transient apartment or place? Permanent meaning our will to receive. That's our true desire. However, we can't receive anything in it, because in it there is our foundation, which is called the stony heart, leva even, and it cannot be corrected. What we're supposed to do is only working on being in the first 9 sefirot and not in malchut, meaning in all the other qualities but leva even. So this is called finding the deficit, the void, the new nukva, piercing your ear, piercing the balls, all kinds of hints, because they hint at not working with our natural deficiency, but above nature. Why is it called above nature? Because the first 9 sefirot are above malchut, and that's what we have to work with. And This is called rising from the permanent residency to the temporary residency. And we rise above the Malchut. And coming to the first nine sfirot, and building a new residency called a soul. Because in the current situation, we cannot feel more than this state, this world. We can only feel more if we move to new desires. And those new desires are the first nine sfirot, tetrishonot, the qualities of the light, the qualities of bestowal. So, what can we do? We have to rise above all that we have in our regular desire to the opposite, what's called the waste of barn and winery. What was felt as waste from two directions, left and right, the waste of barn is called bread, the right line, the light of faith, and the winery refers to the light of Chokhmah, the left line, and we need to take the waste from them and love that, meaning not what is accepted in our will to receive, rather what's accepted in our will to bestow. So if we turn our vessels upside down, meaning the values in our vessels, from reception to bestowal, it means that we move from waste of barn and winery to barn and winery. And this means that we're working on extracting those details that are unimportant to our will to receive and building our new house from that, our new residency. This is called the vessel of the soul. So one's new vessel is only made of the quality of bestowal. And when one constructs this kli, then he discovers that in his will to receive, there are 320 discernments. By working on trying to attract the light of Chokhmah through the society, through the environment, he comes to the sensation that there are such desires with which he can never work in order to bestow. These are desires of what's called Leva Even, the stony heart. And the other 288 desires out of the 320 are usable because they belong to the first nine sfirot. The 32 times 9 is 288. Those are desires we can work with, and the remaining 32 are Leva Even, which we, the Malchut's desires, we cannot work with. And when one finds those 288 desires above the Leva Even, then he ends up with the clean first nine sfirot. However, this is without any Malchut, meaning he just clarifies those qualities per se, which is what he sort of bases himself on, but what does he, how can he execute them, realize these desires, based on what? So here he receives a new desire, and it's called Malchut of Ima. It's also called Malchut of the 6,000 years. And that's what he's working on. Receiving desires from Bina, only from the part of Malchut that's integrated with Bina, and that is how he undergoes correction. That's basically the issue of the new residency, the new house. So, in the process of correction of Malchut Uven Sof, there's basically a descent of the worlds from above downwards, then the construction of this world, the preparation of the will to receive to become ready, and when the correction begins, then the will to receive is sorted out to its parts that belong to the first nine sefirot of the collective general desire. Then we work with the first nine sefirot, and using them and Malchut of Ima, we put together the vessel of the soul. And this is called a temporary residency, because it's not yet our actual soul. It's the Malchut of Ein Sof that is incorporated into the first nine sefirot. After we complete all of this work, then at the end of correction, we also take in the corrected Leva Even, stony heart, which was corrected by those drops. They're called drops falling to the big ocean, to Malchut of Ein Sof. Basically, by all our actions, eventually the Malchut of Ein Sof is corrected, and then we take that completely to our use. And that's how our corrected soul is brought back to us. That's basically the process. Questions? If you have any. It's not really an article, this one. It's some kind of a clear-cut discernment about this and this and this and so on. Yes, who's there at the end?
What does it mean to draw the light of Chokhmah through the group?
What does it mean to draw the light of Chokhmah through the group? We can't undergo any corrections if not through the group. You have to show what is this place that you wish to correct. So you're crying, I want spirituality. I don't understand what it is. Spirituality, by definition, is the corrected state that existed and we fell from it. The corrected state is a connected state. So show me where is that place you want to connect. Who do you want to be connected to with as one man in one heart? And then, if you cry that you want to be in that connection, this means wanting to be in spirituality, or demanding correction, or demanding to be there. It means demanding connection with the others. That's it. What you'll find in that connection is light, true. That's right. First, you'll discover the light that reforms, that actually makes that connection, that soldering work between you, that work of gluing you together to one soul. And according to that adhesion, you will begin to feel your shared quality of bestowal, which is called the upper light or the creator. That's it. So what does it mean to demand spirituality through the connection? It's impossible otherwise. You're just not depicting correctly what spirituality is. Perhaps you're thinking about some mysticism, or what you need is meditation or something like that, which means that you want to feel something in your ego right here and now, the way you are now. Spirituality is what you feel only when you become connected, because this is the vessel that was broken. So,
ka
It's kind of cold here. Everyone is complaining that it's cold. Don't you feel it there? True or not? So why aren't you yelling at them? He doesn't understand. He thinks it's all comfy and warm. So our problem first is to provide the correct definitions, the true definitions for each and every word that we study. So if I say spirituality, I say bestowal. The force of bestowal appears in the connection between us, on top of the force of reception. Over hatred, there's love. If I describe these things correctly, then I already see that it should be realized, it should appear only in the group. This is what we were given. Why are we in this world? Just like that, by chance, it just happened? What? This world is a copy of the spiritual world, of the breaking of the vessels, and in it, we now need to use all our situations that actually don't belong to spirituality in order to put together some template, some pattern of spiritual connection and see that we are incapable and demand it. You see, why is it such a problem for us to connect in our group? Why? We can't. Why? Because we immediately feel some indifference, resistance. You know, we don't want to pay attention to it. We forget about it. Why? Because these are already spiritual forces preventing us from feeling it. And if we nevertheless exert in it, it will be called exertion, effort. And then even our efforts won't bring us any results, so we'll start crying, we'll start asking, we'll feel that there is someone to ask from. We will ask for what? For the strength, the power to connect, the guidance of how to connect. Then will come the light that clarifies and corrects the vessels and will provide us with connection. And connection isn't that we connect our bodies. It's that we connect our desires and our intentions. We begin to see, to feel that we're actually becoming connected. And this world was only given to us to begin this process from nothing, from the most remote point. That's why we exist as bodies. And my body can allow me to connect with another body, you know? Just like that, without any inner corrections. However, in spirituality, proximity, touch, hug, let's say, is all about inner corrections of the desire. In our world, I can do these things without any corrections. So I was given the opportunity to approach corrections without any preparation as an independent. I can do it or not do it. In spirituality, there's no such thing. In spirituality, I'm at a certain state and that's it. If you correct yourself, you move 2 millimeters closer to others. If you don't correct yourself, you don't move. It's all about correction. In our world, it isn't. In our world, I can just decide to do something. And in our world, it all depends on how much I'm inspired by the environment. Say I hear some music, or I find myself in a meal, I drink a cup of vodka, I eat something, I feel good all of a sudden being with others, they sing something, I sing with them. No corrections inside, but I already have the ability to somewhat connect with others, make a few steps towards it, without any correction. And this is what we are required to do now, to build an environment. This is what the whole of humanity is required to do right now, to build an environment that will change us. We can do this without any correction, without understanding anything, simply because we have no other choice. Let's create an environment that will influence us with all kinds of good values. That's it. This is why our world is critically important. Without this type of reality, we wouldn't be able to move, because the broken vessels are simply broken. They have no ability whatsoever to do anything. They're just broken, that's it. And by the reality of the bodies in our world, this bodily interaction that we have, using music, using reading articles, all of this is a replication of spirituality, a demo of spirituality. We can do things for better or for worse. So it's a wonderful world in terms of the opportunity to correct ourselves, literally. And today, this is what we're seeing all over the world, that it's like that all over the world. The whole world is finding how it's in a desperate state. Maybe not yet. There will be worse state than what we have now, unfortunately. Until we will realize that we have to change. In our group, we still didn't really get it well. We're still not willing to really give up everything but connection. And that's a problem. Because how can we expect the world to have that? However, what the mind doesn't do, time will, meaning the amount of problems and troubles that will appear. And then, we will want it. Yes.
How can we give an explanation to the Zahab from the point for the holiday of Sukkot from the point of view of the Arvut?
The concept of Sukkot is that we tie together all the minim, the species, meaning there's four species, meaning the four phases, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that complete our soul, and we have to tie them together, including the Malchut, which is the Lulav is the Ranpin, the Etrog is Malchut, the Adasim and Aravot are Netzach and the Hod of the Zeranpin, and then we join the Etrog, the Malchut, to all of this, meaning it represents our entire soul, Malchut, that wishes to bond with Zeranpin. And so we put all of these things into a temporary residency, as we said before, which is the scrutiny of all our desires that we can correct until the end of correction, because these desires are not the original desires that are tied to our egoistic nature that we can't fix, but only the first 9 sefirot that are integrated with Malchut. And then we shake all of that inside the sukkah, which means it's in the four directions of the wind and up and down, meaning it's the six axes that we have from me out and out, meaning that I draw all the surrounding light to me through all the directions in my residency. By that, I express my connection with my external vessels. So, I have the Shorosh Neshama Guf, which are the Galgalta Enayim, and outside of me, the Levush and Echal. Levush is what's closer to me, and Echal is actually what's outside the Sukkah, meaning the entire world, including everything in it. So I want to connect with all of these. I wish to connect with them correctly, where I correct the Shorosh Neshama Guf completely. These are desires I fully correct, and the Levush and Echal are corrected partially. They are external vessels that I still don't tie together. I draw the surrounding light to correct these vessels, and then I reach a complete vessel. And that is when all the vessels, Shorosh Neshama Guf Levush Echal, are connecting together, when they all unite as one. And when they do, I have 10 complete sfirot. There's no more of this world or the upper spiritual worlds. I'm simply in Malchut of Ein Sof, the world of Ein Sof. Everything is connected in one collective kli, and we're all sharing one desire. This is our true state. We always advance towards this new state, and we're doing that in 125 degrees. That's it. This is how it works. And we should see that Sukkot represents the great corrections. And there's these 8 days. First, there's the 6 days of Malchut connecting to Zeranpin. Then Zon are in coupling. It's called the night of Hoshana Rabbah, the state where we have a coupling between Zeranpin and Malchut. Then the soul becomes corrected. And then it achieves the next corrections until the Purim, holiday. Yes. Who wanted to ask? Yeah.
I heard an excellent talk you had with Racheli. Q&A with women, about women. You said that the woman's role is different today. It's no longer only pushing men to connect, but in general, everyone has to participate and be as one family. In general, can you elaborate about the new role of the woman in the times of the Arvut?
Throughout our history and our process of correction, Kabbalists were actually always talking about the correction of both men and women. Eventually, our world begins from, and all our corrections begin from the chet, what's called the sin, which was induced by the female part of the soul, the woman, which is the carrier of the will to receive. So the whole wisdom of Kabbalah is basically there. And women were always connected to all these corrections. However, because the wisdom of Kabbalah was hidden for so long, we didn't understand these things exactly. And besides that, At the time when all the people, or a big part of the nation, was in spirituality, then some part of it were women. And we had very lofty and women called prophets, and some of them were very known. But then, in the exile, all of that was quenched. Although the women were there before. Now it's a different time. Now we're reaching general correction. It's called general salvation or general redemption. And therefore, there's no difference between men and women. Everyone needs to learn. Everyone needs to be corrected. I don't see any connection between men and women, you know, in corporeality, and men and women in spirituality. Everyone has a female and male part, not just in our physical chromosomes, but in our soul. There's first 9 sefirot and malchut in each and every person. Although there are specific corrections for each and every one, but I don't see a difference in the progress of men and women. Certainly, if a woman wants to, she can advance and progress without needing a man next to her, and a man doesn't necessarily need the woman next to him. Of course, family life, this is something that could assist family life, and it could happen through the family life as well, but it isn't something that you should hang your correction on as something that must happen like that. What I'm afraid of is that you will begin to, you know, to toss the responsibility on your spouse to join in your correction. Everyone advances according to their own pace and demand that they feel. Some are, you know, are runners, and they want to advance quickly, and some not. Some want to advance according to their own pace. Everyone has their own pace, and that doesn't prevent one of the spouses to advance. When I was just a regular person, and let's say I got married with some lady, and today I'm advancing in spirituality, and my wife doesn't really care about it. She only cares about the, you know, her makeup and her house. I don't know. So I want spirituality, she wants cooking. So what? What, I'll have to change my wife? Does it prevent me from correcting my soul? No, that's incorrect. This is why I'm saying, don't think like that. What's special about our time is that, just like a woman is externally less dependent on the man at this era, I'm not talking about the internality. In the internality, there are laws that you can't erase. And the man also relies on the woman in that sense. But a woman can basically advance without any connection to her man. And it's the same situation in a family where the man doesn't necessarily want the correction of the soul, but the woman does. And she makes efforts and puts efforts into this with us. That's not a problem. There's no prevention, and she shouldn't disrespect her husband and look for someone else. Sometimes I hear these ideas, and I'm amazed by this ignorance that you think it only happens to be, it only needs to be like this and that's it. No, everyone is going through different states. We're going through different phases and transitions. And there's actually examples here that we can see, families where at some point the woman was more advancing, and at other points the man was more advancing, and so on. So we don't have to really put pressure on our spouse, unless it's possible. If that's the situation, then okay. But I don't think so. And at this point in time, we're so busy with dissemination that I don't even think that you have time to kind of you know, read an article at home or do something like that. It's not, there's no time for it, and there's no inner pressure to do that. So we have to see what time what our special time tells us. This is what I'm thinking. So the main thing is that, as we see, from as far as we see it externally, we have to allow everyone their latitude and their freedom in spiritual advancement. So our world is basically showing us the right representation. Okay?
Can you explain in simple words, what does it mean that we give up everything besides connection?
Imagine this. The next phase of the world, is that we have the ability to have just 2% of the people of the world to work in agriculture in order to abundantly satiate all people. If 10% will work in the industry, even less, we'll have all that we need in order to, you know, to have all the tools and devices we need at home, in the industry, everywhere. 12, maybe 15% people working all over the world, all together, in everything, and you don't need anything more. And today, many more people are working in the world, a lot more people working in the world. And look what will happen. All of a sudden we'll see that we can't get along. There's hunger, there's poverty, lack in everything, planes fall down, authorities aren't working correctly, there's chaos. Everything is falling apart. And all of it only happens because of the lack of connection between us. Look what's happening in Europe. You think there's no money, there's no ability to really put things in order? It's all there. What's the problem? There's no connection. No connection. Everyone cares about himself being important. So, when there will be a next phase, not like what the financial situation today, but when there will be a state where I have a clean, empty plate in front of me, or just a half plate or a third, then people will start seeing other things. We'll start talking differently, and it'll happen soon. Because nature has to show us the necessity to connect. And it'll be through things, you know, when the crisis in the family unit began, you know, that's already maybe 30 years ago, people started getting divorced so frequently and being on their own, being themselves, not even getting married, being depressed, committing suicides. Still no one paid attention to this. There was the crisis in science began, that dead end or even culturally, still people didn't care. You know, okay, we can still confuse ourselves and distract ourselves with TV, so everything's fine as long as there's a football match to watch. But now, this is already serious, because it's an economic crisis, which is what our animal life depends on, because I'm an animal and I need food. As simple as that. That's it. There's nothing more important than that. What do our bodies look for all the time? Look at how animals are living. They spend their entire life looking for food. Humans, with their minds, have come to the point where they don't need to be immersed in that quest 24/7. But really, without our conscious intellectual development, we were only seeking food all the time. Now, we've come to a point where we will be concerned about that like animals, and it's horrible. We still didn't feel it to this extent in life. And this is what will force us to find the answer. And the answer will be there. It's the lack of connection. Because on the one hand, there's abundance, but on the other hand, we can't share it and spread it, distribute it in a way that everyone will have it, because we're not connected. And then, in that kind of way, the Creator will force us to learn what it means to be connected, and be connected in such a way that if I don't provide for the other first, I don't get anything. I have to care about anyone, everyone, and only at last about myself. This is unpleasant, and this is serious phases. We want to accelerate this development and to bring the process to a conscious process where things happen in advance, and then we won't have to go through this on our flesh and all that suffering. But if not, this is what will happen. We'll be going hungry. And all of this first depends on the people of Israel here in the country of Israel, and especially in the Bnei Baruch group, who is here right now, really at the center of all these corrections. And this is something serious. It frightens me a lot. What kind of pressure will be finding ourselves under all of a sudden?
Suppose we succeed in our dissemination, and we do succeed in explaining that it's possible that we need to connect and there will be no hunger. The thing is that you said that the connection has to be for the purpose of something. This is what we always talked about. And now, the goal is, in order to prevent humanity from undergoing blows. Again, will there not come a greater blow if we connect in order to prevent blows, if this is the only goal?
Humanity doesn't need to think further about connection. They only need to think about what they're seeing in front of their eyes. They can't discuss the loftier matters. Basically, that's it, because this is achap, vessels of reception. They don't have anything more than their desire for a good life. Therefore, they come to a point where they lack, they have a material lack. And we have to make sure that through these material, corporeal lacks, we explain to them what they're lacking, what they're missing, which is what? Connection, corporeal connection. Simple. Something that is in front of them. However, in order to provide them with this connection, we, as Galgal Ta'anayim, need to be connected spiritually to receive and pass the lights to them. So, in order to provide them with materialism, we have to be in spirituality. But they don't need to know about it. The 7 billion people, the masses of people, can't think about this spiritual transcendency and all of that. They only need to know one thing. If we're all connected as one, then we'll reach a point where everyone has what they need and everyone feels good. That's all they are demanded of, because they don't have a point in the heart. They can't discover it in this kind of material way by themselves. They can only discover it in connection to us. Baal HaSalam writes about it at the end of the introduction to the Zohar, but it's our problem to connect and to reach between us a state where we don't lack bread, we lack spirituality. And we need to be in such a connection that we will demand our connection to be spiritual, meaning above our ego, or above the hatred. We don't demand everyone to correct their nature, to transcend their nature. There's a different problem here. We don't understand that our correction is not about breaking myself. My correction is not about, you know, taking myself and, you know, inverting myself or distorting something inside. No, no, no. Completely not. My correction is to transcend myself. It isn't what usually people think about. I'm not breaking anything. I'm not extracting anything and instilling something else. I rise above all my thoughts and tendencies and inclinations that are egoistic. Everything. Everything that's in me remains. I hate this and that and him or her, and I don't want to be close to this or that. Doesn't matter. I keep all of that. I don't take care of that specifically, directly. I only rise above these things. It is a very significant principle. It's like in a family. Can we change each other? Can we force each other to change, to be like me, my spouse? Can I do something with my spouse? Can I change her? Can I make her change her qualities and inclinations to something that I want? Is it even possible? We're already grown-ups. We know it's impossible. But we, above that, build some sort of a connection, some sort of a bridge between us. It's called love covers all transgressions. And if we both understand that with all the inclinations and tendencies and habits that everyone has, above that we stand each other and we get used to each other and so on, then comes love. Love, Rabash said, is an animal which grows from mutual concession. That's it. There's no other choice. And the more I give up, I make a concession on what I don't like, then I can make a better connection. The women understand, you understand me. Because you know that if you don't pay attention to something, that's the only thing you can do. What else can you do? And this is what we all should do, and this is also how we should relate to our children. Same thing, it doesn't matter that they're small. They have all the qualities and inclinations and tendencies, and we can't break them, we can't change them. We can only show them an example. Whatever we can, we have to express, to kind of to show an example that is better as far as we understand. But again, it's only setting an example, and words will not help. Words are oppressive. Only unless it's an explanation, then somehow it works. But still, even only the example with children. So when we're talking about the correction of our soul, there too, we're not supposed to break all our tendencies and qualities. Just like no one can do it to me from outside, it's also forbidden for me to do it with myself. I only try to rise above what I got from the Creator to a new quality called a soul. And the more I keep what's in me, Baal HaSulam says that we must keep the uniqueness of each and every one, and we mustn't reach coercion or try to uproot some tendencies in people. No. This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is patient towards everything that appears in humanity, all the problems. Problems, qualities, tendencies that appear in humanity, doesn't matter. You can't relate to anything with disregard or disrespect or looking at it as wrong. We only have to care about one thing. If we connect with love above all the gaps between us, and everyone rises above what they have inside, that waste they have inside, and everyone rises above their own waste, there we'll find the connection between us at a point that shines, a point of bestowal, that point of connection. And that is the true Malchut, which will then connect to Zeranpin and take all the Sfirot from Zeranpin besides that point, and then we'll have the soul and eternal spiritual life. That's how we build it. And this is the only healthy, correct approach to connection between spouses, man and woman. The more they know each other, the more they connect above everything. What can I love in someone else to begin with? Only the things that are exactly matching what I have. Obviously, if I'm an egoist, then what will be good for me? Only if she knows how to, you know, make that soup that I love. Or she does that, this or that thing that I'm used to. That's it. And if it's the opposite, then I already begin to, you know. So, we have to understand that here we have a problem. And it's a law. It's a very profound law that says that we can't touch the creation that the Creator created. It's not really about, you know, making peace at home. It's the correction that happens throughout the entire process. And even on greater spiritual degrees of connection, we also find ourselves
in
in greater and greater collision, just like it is said about the students of Rabbi Shimon. When they come to study the Zohar, they feel how much they hate each other. They're going to now write the Zohar to clarify, scrutinize things in Gaon Vatzilut, the loftiest degrees, and they feel how they hate each other. You understand how they have to rise above all their transgressions that they find and connect in love? Otherwise, they wouldn't be even connected to this book. These are very high corrections, and there's only one principle here. And that principle has to be between us and our children, and between all of people of humanity. And now, we're at this point where we'll have to discover this principle, either for lack of a better choice, or by conscious understanding, and we'll have to realize it as soon as possible. The sooner we do it, the less we suffer. If I understood correctly, connection only happens above the ego.
There can never be a connection within the ego, only above it.
So this is spiritual connection. What is the regular connection, simple connection?
What do you mean, simply so? There is no simply so.
So what is the connection for humanity?
That humanity has to connect. They too will connect above all of their egoistic forms.
So it's the same.
The difference in the realization. When we'll project onto them, when we'll be together, we together with them, when we'll be connected, then it will come from us to them, the understanding, the feeling that it's necessary to connect above our ego, all of us together, above the human qualities, just like in a family. We don't have to be spiritual in our family in order to connect above the ego of everyone, but through mutual connection, through mutual concessions, we connect above the hatred, above all these differences. As it says, love covereth all crimes. What's the problem? I live with a woman. Whatever we understand, we do from the wisdom of Kabbalah. What we didn't understand from the wisdom of Kabbalah, we understood from life. But we understood that we have to make concessions towards one another reciprocally. I know that there are things that are forbidden to touch. I don't awaken them. It's a taboo. Otherwise, I get in return a knockout. She knows, too, there are things that are forbidden because otherwise I explode and so on. So, it's like the stony heart in each one of us. It's forbidden to touch that inner snake. And there are things that do come along, get along, fall into place, and you build the connection. In me, there are such qualities, and in her, there are such qualities, in which we're completely opposite, opposed. It's called inner hatred. It's not hatred, but love covers all crimes, or Mount Sinai, and above it, the mount of hatred, and above it, the connection, the mutual guarantee, the mutual consideration, because the opposite thoughts, opposite qualities, opposite desires, that means that they are in hate toward one another, toward each other. And atop that, they build a connection of love. The very same way, this is what humanity will come to. They'll have to build these things corporeally. This world will have to be completely round, according to nature that reveals. We're undergoing all the corrections in this world. When we finish all corrections, it becomes completely round, stays only the stony heart, and everyone connects around it, atop it, and we don't touch the stony heart, like an ideal family. Like on the inside, there's still something left, but we know what that is. We agree that it's there. that it exists in this opposite form to us, but all the rest we brought to connection. This is the situation in which then the stony heart is cancelled and we connect in the corrected qualities and we lose the feeling of this world in our perception of reality, and then it transcends onto the spiritual degree, spiritual level. Yes.
When we talk to specific groups, especially in the U.S.,
do we have to talk to them about the level of connection of the whole of humanity?
Do we have to explain in America when our friends are talking to groups and people there outside because of the protests and riots and demonstrations there, should we talk about the connection of the whole of humanity?
Or just simply talk to them about connection, because the idea of the connection of the whole of humanity, in the meantime, for them, it's something. First of all, I don't understand what groups are you talking about here, and I don't understand how come all of you start speaking with the groups, and maybe you're passing on wrong things to them. This is something that I don't understand. We have people who are responsible for the connection with the groups. They have to speak. And you, according to your question, forgive me, I see that you don't understand a single thing about it. So why do you speak to them and maybe confuse them and greatly harm them, yourself, and all of us? The key for wisdom is keeping silent. To keep silent is always better than to talk. And if you talk, you have to be very choosy and scrutinize exactly what is it that you say. We have several people who are Asaf, Malkus, Yair, Aviv is with them. I'm with them. I'm in touch with them regularly. They're responsible for the connection with what's going on in the States. And that's it. That's it. And it's forbidden for others to talk. You don't understand, because I'm sure about this, because I'm in touch with all these people all the time. And I'm sure that all the others have no idea what's going on there, don't even know and don't understand what's going on here, don't understand and don't know what to say. This is a kind of an organization that it's forbidden for anyone who feels like it to simply start talking and saying whatever he feels like, because by this he corrupts and ruins things. It should be clear to a person that a person sitting here, it doesn't necessarily mean that he can already go and say whatever he thinks and feels like. We have a specific group that is taking care of this, and that's that. And for all the others, it's forbidden to say, I suppose, speaking about you or others that are in touch with the groups out there. Of course, we're not talking about the connection all around the world. It's not natural for Americans to hear to such an extent, and we don't talk this way with any country. Where do we say this? When we talked about this in Israel, did we talk about being connected with the whole world? Humanity is not ready for it yet. I'm very mad and unsatisfied about that it's happening the way it is. It's forbidden for anyone to simply say whatever they feel like, or simply say because they feel like saying something. You're really ruining our dissemination. You're corrupting our path. Later we'll hear from America who knows what. And it's also forbidden for the American groups to evoke a certain connection with us when they are disseminating their matters there. There's an order, a complete order of instructions that we wrote down, that we passed on to them as to how to work, what do you have to do, specific guidelines, how to do these things. And people don't simply do what they feel like. I'm stunned to hear this, really. I'm warning you, in short. This is something I won't tolerate. Yes, next.
But the same context, those who come in contact with the external audience, you see that there's all kinds of, you know, viruses that you catch. At least this is how it seems to us. And we said that we feel it and we want to ask about it in the holiday. Basically, the root of this, what seems to happen is that, you know, I see it with myself, I see it with others, that you kind of begin to feel that you know better than your managers what to do in dissemination. And it causes all kinds of symptoms as a result.
This is what's happening with us, especially in America, I suppose. They're taking to the streets. They're in touch and contact with the people on the streets, on Wall Street. They meet plenty of people. They talk to them daily on a regular basis. They disseminate materials with our explanation. They take part in discussions. They have a feeling of what's going on there. For me, America, it's an alien, foreign country. As much as I was there, I don't understand what's going on there, and I don't allow myself to think that I understand what's going on there. And I'll recommend to them what has to be done now? No. What I do want for it to happen is after they create their flyers and after they exactly know what they want to say, I specifically want to know what is the text of the materials that they're disseminating. It has to undergo our censorship, and we saw that there are things there that it's completely unpreferable for it to be disseminated, it's against our own benefit, against their benefit. And there are such things that show their connection to us as if there is a worldwide gang that's jumping Wall Street now, and they're starting to, you know, make an ideological attack there. This is how it looks. So we have to work against that, for it to be much softer, for it to be much easier, much more approachable, much more adapted, in accordance with what's revealing there. From the group here taking care of what's going on there, I get constant updates, and accordingly, we have to take care of the different cases and specific situations all over the world, and with all these things that happen in other countries. All of this has to come through those people who are responsible for taking care of those countries. For Spanish speakers, it's Norma. Portuguese, it's Mrs. Gianni Meron. Gianni. And so on and so forth. Yaakov Sabal is for, especially for Europe, and Moshe Admoniwea for Italy. In short, each area has a person or a whole complete group taking care of this. So in short, whoever wants to take care of this and help and is connected to the countries that he has, first of all, if you're in that country, you have to look for our responsible, get in touch with him, and then work with him. Because there are great specifics here about these things. We also have to learn how to do this. I'm not sure that we know how to do this, only that in the meantime, it's forbidden to show to reveal in any way or fashion that it comes from Israel, because this will be unacceptable in most countries in the world.
We're seeing that from the integration of us with the external public, we begin to change. You get different thoughts and behaviors even that, you know, stick to you.
What exactly?
Well, exactly, for instance, that I begin to think that it's better for me to do something with some group of people outside for dissemination than what the managers say. In short, it's feeling that you know better than what your managers tell you, and it expresses itself in many things, you know, in connecting with people outside. In short, in beginning to act like an independent disseminator online and so on, and it's a phenomenon.
Possibly, I don't know. You have to raise these questions here more specifically, and then we'll know what is it that we have to do. I don't exactly know what influences you, what it is the spirit of things. Maybe it's the great masses that influence you, and there's also this kind of phenomenon. It is the power of the masses, of the many, that influences you. Suppose now I'll send you out among 10,000 chassids from the Gur current, and that's it. You'll be there a whole day. I promise you, you'll come out of there. You'll have the same form as they do. That's obvious. That's the power of the environment. We're talking exactly about this. It's the power of the environment. There's no wonder about this, that this is how these things are. And the problem is that he is not impressed, inspired by our environment, and he is by that environment. So we have to examine what is it that's going on.
To somehow avoid it, to somehow to treat it, take care of it, what?
To avoid, maybe better avoid, to treat it. You treat it by talking about it here and being strengthened by the group. It is well known that this is how we're built, that this is how we are. When I had to be among different people and groups of foreigners, I used to prepare myself before that and write down all those things that confused me, especially those things. And later on, I found the right answer in the wisdom of Kabbalah. I used to look for the right answer in the wisdom of Kabbalah and see where are they wrong. If suddenly they used to twist me a bit, and I would start thinking, yeah, it's very possible. This is the path we should take. I used to write down that thing that used to deviate me. And any moment that I felt that my thought is, that I'm following him in my thought, that my thought is twisting a bit and deviating in his direction, I used to write it down, and that very instant, write it down, and then go look for it in Shamati, in my inner work, trying to find out why did it happen this way? Why was I deviated this way and so on? What's the right path? And it was really something very strengthening, something that really helped me in my inner work and on my path. Until a person reaches spirituality, until he reaches a regular degree, a constant degree of Galgalta and Anayim, he can always deviate from the path. He has a chance. And then he can really be, he has to be strengthened. Not to be maybe alone, to go with several friends. It says so. Do not believe in yourself until the moment that you die. You'll come, you'll get money, honor, whatever. They'll sit you in this great, big, beautiful office. You won't be able to cope with this because you're merely a will to receive. it's always possible to find a path and such an attitude that will buy you out, simply, as simple as that. So we always have to be careful. We have to equip ourselves to begin with the intention, reinforce, strengthen ourselves. Along with that, to constantly hold the shamati in the pocket and be with a few friends. Go with a few friends. This is speaking to our point. Akasha, you are last.
Bibi Netanyahu, in his speech around the issue of Gilad Shalit, he used, in the speech about bringing back Gilad Shalit, it's the captivated soldier that we have, the Israeli soldier, he used the phrase, people have to, Israelis have to be in mutual guarantee. How do you think it touched people?
Look, that we are in mutual guarantee in a certain way, that's true, because we're here in a situation where from all sides we are surrounded enemies and haters. So as a result of this feeling that we are encompassed by enemies, we have this feeling of a mutual guarantee. Besides, we're being hated by the entire world. That inside each and every one of us, this gives us a feeling of a certain feeling of connection, a certain feeling of belonging, which is also a mutual guarantee, has to do with this. It's not exactly the Arvut. Now, besides this, we feel ourselves like in a small country, that there's a feeling here, like in a village, like in a small city. We feel more interdependent than any other place in the world, any other country in the world. Last week, we were in the city of Eilat, the most southern city in Israel. It's like being overseas. You have this feeling as if there you don't feel a belonging to the land of Israel, to the state of Israel. You talk to people and they tell you, that's going on there. Really, really to that extent. And it's really felt there. This is very felt there. And it's the character of that specific place. You come there only in order to hang out. It's a kind of a resort for the people of Israel. Vacation. So, first of all, we're still in the year of the Arvut. This was declared by the state of Israel, that this is the year of the Arvut, of mutual guarantee. Why did they come up with this? I don't know. Providence put their into their brains and they simply spit it out of their mouths. Who thinks about it? I don't know. The thing is that we have to disseminate as much as possible, broaden, advertise, publicize the matter, the idea of the Arvut and the Arvut movement, and it'll work. It has to work because the external conditions, they will nevertheless be more and more, they'll become harder, ever harder, especially in respect to economics, because we're really dependent on Europe, so undoubtedly that we will lose our entire sense of economical security, safety. So this situation will have to bring the people to the feeling of the need to be connected and correctly interconnected. And if we'll know how to correctly build the interconnection between us, where it's not simply the doctors going on strike demanding this on that, but if everyone, what can the government do? Where will they take the money from? But again, we have to sit down to a round table, and not that Trachtenberg, the committee that was set to solve the different demands and claims of the protesters. But if we sit down to a round table according to the principle of the Arvut, mutual guarantee, if we'll reach that state, then I see that we'll truly elevate everyone. I see that this is something that's truly sustainable, and this year we really have to be a part of this. We have to engage in this. This is the direction we have to take and realize it. And it's really possible for this to happen. And really, in the upcoming weeks, month, we'll see how the world is tumbling. And then they'll listen more. They'll listen. They'll hear. But again, we have to be more business-like, down to the point. Each one of us has to connect to that specific department, taking care of his part of the world, specifically towards that language. And not that everyone does what they feel like. Also in Israel, there is a department taking care of this. So please, we have a factory. You have to be a part of that factory. Impossible that someone does the work however he feels like it. Take upon yourself a part of the general work, and by this you'll connect with everyone else. In this, you are as a part of everyone. You'll benefit as a result. Otherwise, you will be harmed by this, that you work separately and actually against everyone else. So let's be connected, and I hope that throughout the holidays we'll have here explanations, activities, right? Who's responsible? Is Moshe here? We'll have discussions about it. Okay. So on these discussions, he's upstairs. I understand that they're preparing themselves upstairs. So there will be discussions here, and whoever can, whoever has the desire, the time, please connect to these discussions and ask for a way to participate. It's really worthwhile doing. This is truly what our spiritual ascent depends on. So thank you very much for everything. And we'll see you in happy, joyful times. We are in such times that can really prepare the world for a good future. So let's maybe sing something.